this is a very powerful weapon. And when you point it at somebody, sometimes they feel angry. Others take it, and as they walk away, they're reading it. We believe that what God's Word said in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. We believe that about God's Word. What do we do with it? Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may do according to all that is written in it. And then you will prosper, and then you will have success. Meditate on it. Open it up every morning. Read it. Spend time in the Word. Who are the Gideons and what do we do? The Gideons are an international association of Christian businessmen and professional men. And we are...
Wow. Sorry.
Bibles and vocals and motels in all the traffic lanes for life. We try and get into the schools, which is getting harder and harder to do, in the colleges, the prisoners and the police, fire departments, medical personnel, as well as men and women in the Air Force. We have special scriptures for each one of these different places that we place the Bible. We have a problem getting into the public schools, so that's why the Gideons developed the light book. The light book, and Pastor had used this, the light books go to the students. The students take them into the schools. Are they doing any good? Yes, they are. We are just excited for what the light book is doing. I have a testimony today, but you'll see how one of the fellows is using them. Pastor tells me they've been very successful in his church. The youth group in the Marshall area was handing them out. I took some to school, and as one of the students was standing into one of his fellow students, as usual, he made fun of him. He took this book and threw it. It ended up on the roof of the high school. And there was a worker up there that day working on a heating and air conditioning system. All of a sudden, the book was up. He picked it up. Home. And he got a hold of the Gideons because he took this book home and read it. And the Lord touched his heart with his word, which would return to him void. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there was one other testimony from a young lady, too. Somebody was tearing pages out, throwing them all over. Another girl went and picked them up, took the book that was torn up, and she took it home. God's word will never return to him void. All is accomplished. Brian Cole was in the state prison system for over a quarter of a century. Some of the inmates at the Bible study that we do in the prison system knew him. And they couldn't get over the change in his life. Well, today, he is a youth pastor in Stanley, Wisconsin, and he spoke at our state convention in 2013. And we're going to hear his testimony. He can tell it a lot better than I can.
Thank you for having me here. This is kind of the dark one because to the Gideons, this is like a form of camp of my identity. And here I am talking to you guys now and thanking you. This it all started for me, I'm 48 years old, 38 years ago, started a lifetime. Just darkness and just the satanic dark life. At the age of 10, I was introduced into Satanism, into drugs and alcohol. One of my initiations at the age of that, you know, I'm by myself, folks, like a travel guy, and that's what I want. Eventually, not only did I get involved with other aspects of the occult, but just Christian being was a religion to me. I mean, I desecrated so many churches, so many cemeteries, and they do these things at Christmas time, you name it. I just hated Christians. And you guys, in your Bible, you were one of my worst enemies. I spent 27 years of my life in prison. And the amount of Bible in prison is just unbelievable. And I had quite a job. I was a janitor in most of the prisons that I worked in. And when people go to bed and I clean up, my job is to track them all Bible and other literature. So just wanted you to know how much I hated Christians. Throughout them years, on top of being involved with the occult, you know, the addictions come with it. Whether it was drug addictions, pornography, cutting, self-mutilation, I was into everything I could. I didn't believe I belonged in this world. I hated life. I hated people. I used people. I manipulated them. It's the only thing that they were good for is to get what I wanted out of life. The time that I served, everything from petty drug charges to attempted murder, this guy on my neck, I got tattooed here, very bad. I killed him through the use of methamphetamine. So if you don't think that the drugs kill others, you're wrong. Well, after this dark state gang warrior attempted to take my life on several occasions through the use of drugs, in 2009 that all changed. I was arrested for the last time. I was treated for 2 years with methamphetamines, and my body was full. I was 180 some pounds when I came out of prison in 2006. By 2009, I was 135 pounds, skeletal, still losing teeth to this day. Selling tons of marijuana to pay for my addictions. I got locked up, got arrested for running a drug out, and that was the day they saved my life. I went to the Chippecom jail, and one of your members, Cliff Walterstor, he oversaw the jail prison ministry there. There was enough that happened in my life. I was 43 years old, I think, at the time when this happened. And after looking back at my life, I had just gotten married six months prior to this arrest, and finally woke up one day, and it was like, I think I have a problem. And I blamed it on drugs. You know, I didn't look at it, it was my belief system. The occult, my belief system, it gave me permission to do all the things that I did, but it was enough to open up the door to admit that something was wrong with me, for the Lord started working with me. I wanted to do things on my own like I always did, and tried, but like I said, that thought alone was enough for the Lord to start working on it. I've seen it at the death, drug, and alcohol program over at the jail. Unfortunately, it was based on a custom program, and I really didn't want to get involved with that, but, I was pushed to do it. I really wanted to do something for myself and my life. And I went, and I let the guys know, I'm here to better myself, I want to hear under Jesus stuff, and Jeff and Cliff also said, if you're going to be in here, you can do what I got to say. Alright, you guys don't talk to me. And long story short, I had to have a Bible to do my homework. Really? So I managed to get the library one day by myself, and I found one of those small little pocket testaments. I stashed it down my pants, went back to my room, put it in my pillow, and when they locked down the night, I pulled that out and filled in the blanks in my homework. And, I went to fill in the blanks. I came across the verse, seemingly, they didn't have nothing to do with them, but it was Psalm 51:7, first we did a fifth of night that we couldn't wash, and that's what we wiped in the snow, and that blew me away, because that was word for word part of the cleansing ritual that we performed in the occult. What is this doing here? That's how God comes. So that's when I started reading the Bible, coming across other things. And at that time, God started sending things. and put people and put books and everything I needed in place when I needed it. You know, as soon as I started having questions about the authenticity of Scripture, because, you know, I thought reading another mythology book like all the other ones that I studied, boom, here comes the Age of Christ by Lee Strobel. Read it, authenticated the Bible for me, and then I was mad. I was like, man, I'm a pretty intellectual person. You tell me for 40-some years I've been writing and deceived. Here comes a faith-based anger class, dealt with. After I dealt with my anger, all the shame of my past started coming at me. Everybody I had anything to do with in life was destroyed. I attempted to kill people. I destroyed my family, anybody I was involved with. Bang, faith-based shame class. And it just happened one after another. Finally, one day, the one thing was holding me back was the understanding of, I understand forgiveness for all the things people done to me and all the things I've done to people, but how can God forgive me for the things I personally did and said against Him? And I brought that up in the chapel one day, and he's like, what? And I said, what I just said, how can you forgive me for the things I said and did against Him? He said, what? And I chatted and prayed with me. And he said, that's what the Lord's saying to you, right? It's harder than you do the throw away. He doesn't just forgive you, man, he forgives me. Man, all my life I want a chance to go back to 8 or 5 and keep all the wisdom now that I have, and I'll just start all over again. You know what? Jesus Christ gave me that chance. He said, I'm going to make a new man after you. I'm going to give you a new heart. And He can do that for each and every person. That Bible is a living word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and He set me free. And now to this day, you know, not even 2 years after I'm out of prison, I've been out of prison for 3 years and 1 month, and already I've been addicted to glorify God and share God with others and minister to a church and minister to you and hopefully tell these kids, man, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't trust in the Lord. It might not get this bad, but it can. But it doesn't matter, Lord, whether it was a bad man or just someone falling back. It's the unbelief. It's having a life without Him. People say your testimony, I don't have nothing like it at all. In the Lord's eyes, it's all the same. We're all fallen creatures. We all need Him regardless of what we're involved with. And the one thing I've learned since I've been out of prison is to use everything that the Lord brings into my life for His glory. It was hard for me to, you know, dress up, because this isn't me. And one of the things I like to talk about as far as being obedient to God is understanding that everything that we have in our life, God gives us. God gives me. God gave me a truck. God gave me my family. God restored all my relationships. God gave me a motorcycle. And you know what I did? Like everything else in life, I use that motorcycle for Him. Because of Him. So whether I'm speaking to the bikers at all these gates, one way back and up and down, no, there is another way, man. There's a way where you don't have to do all this stuff. And you can be happy. I thought Christians were the most boring people in the world. Man, I've had so much fun the last 3 years coming here. So I just want to thank you and every one of you guys for everything you do. It's not just the beginning Bible, man, the life book. This has been such a blessing to me and my youth. We do a lot of motorcycle stuff and parades and stuff. My job, I hand out candy, man. I got a backpack full of life book. And I hand these out to the kids. When they see they ain't getting candy, they're kind of. But they get them. But they get them. Thank you for the life book. Thank you for the life. Thank you for everything you do. I preach all the time in my church about going out. Because it's you people that save my life. It's the people who go out and not just sit on your dead butt in churches who save lives. So thank you for doing what you do and going out and saving lives.
Christ. And the only way you can do that is to get out there and be with the people.
hundreds of these testimonies. And for the average person, it's foolish. But we see changing lives. That's what it's all about. You know about our Bible placements in hotels and locales? Well, that's just 8% of our work. The other 92% of our work is one-on-one. So that's how we get most of our Bible done. I've got a short video, it's called From the Heart, and we're going to see that here. Bibles all over the place. Well, this happened down in in Ghana. And John was a 15-year-old boy that was earning an assisted living on the back streets of Accra, Ghana, and his family was too poor to send him to school. Well, Gideon tells us he was ran into this boy who was selling coconuts, and he asked him if he wanted one. He said yes, and he took out his machete and started fixing it for him. And I don't know how you fix coconuts with the machete, but he was doing it. And so when it came time to pay, he took his testament out and put his money inside the testament and handed it to him. And he asked the young man, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "You know, if you die, if you're going to heaven?" And he said, "No, I don't." Just then, another customer came, and he started preparing a coconut for this man. And he says, "I want you to tell me." After he got done preparing that coconut, he came back, and he said, "Show me how I can be sure that I'll go to heaven." And in the back, if you ever get lost, by the way, this is a GPS in the back. God, find the salvation. And he showed him how he could know for sure that he was going to get to heaven. He thanked him. It's a free gift of salvation. The opportunities to witness are all around us. All we have to do is take the time and be sensitive to God's leading. It's never too late. It's never too late. There was a testimony of a fellow in Tennessee that went into the hospital to distribute scriptures. And he went into this room, and this fellow was in there crying, and he was talking to one of the nurses. He was 39 years old, and they told him he didn't have long to live. And what they wanted him to do was to sign this thing for do not resuscitate order. And his mother tried to encourage him, and he wanted to know why they were doing this. He was afraid if he died, he would go to hell. Brother Gideon came in and sat down with him for 2 hours and went over scripture with him. And this man finally came to the realization that he needed to confess his sins and repent. And he came to know Jesus Christ. And as that man left, he said, "I know that you're in God's hands now." And I assured him it was going to be all right. I explained that God would either heal him or call him home to be with him. And as the fellow that gave it, his name was David Autry, he went home that night and couldn't sleep and was thinking of all the other people around that were afraid to die, that didn't know where they were going. I have to tell you a personal testimony. When I was in jail one night, not in jail, but I was studying at Marathon County Jail, and very secure down there. You got the electronic sliding big doors, and when you hear them things clicking, it sends a chill up your spine. But they go through the cell, and the cell block, and they ask if anybody wants to come for a Bible study. And as I was waiting in the room, one fella came in. And I see him in my mind, that he was very mean looking. He was tough looking. It was a hot night. He had his orange jumpsuit on, and it was unbuttoned to his waist. He had a hairy chest with all his hair. And just looked plain mean, and he sat down. And I'm waiting for the rest of the people coming. The deputy comes and says, "That's it for tonight." And the door closed. And I'm sitting in there with this man. And as the Lord was having, I said to him, "Why didn't you come here tonight?" And he said, "I'm a 3-time loser. I'll never get out of prison." And he started crying. He said, "I'm afraid I'm going to hell."
Wow.
He left that room, and he wasn't going to hell. He was going to heaven.
Amen.
What a testimony. Keep it short. After giving a Gideon presentation, this is from another testimony from Gideon, he was helping his wife into the car, and he would go around to the other side. And this fellow came up to him and said, "I like what you shared in the church today." Well, he couldn't quite understand what he was saying. And he asked him what his name was. His name was Horatio, and he was from Mexico. So the Gideon started making small talk with him and about where he came from in Mexico and what he was doing. And Horatio interrupted him and said, "Really?"
He said, all I'm trying to do is find Jesus. So the Gideon went and looked in his car and had a Spanish Testament there. And he asked him if he could read English, and he said no. So he gave him his Spanish Testament. And after he got done talking with him, this young man found what he was looking for. Jesus Christ. Get to the point.
Amen.
How can you help us? First of all, you pray for us. Pray that the Lord will open up doors. Pray that the Lord will continue to give us the ability to hand out scriptures. It's getting harder and harder to get into places. Believe it or not, this offends a lot of people. Second, you can join us. We had to cancel our distribution at Nicolet College because we didn't have enough people to help us. We finally asked some other camps, and they came and to our help to help us in the fall. And third, by using the Gideon cards, Kenny is just setting up some more stuff back here in the Gideon card rack. You can send, we've got a whole array of different cards to send out now. And it's just and you can even buy cards at Walmart, and you put this little, and you can donate them with Bibles in your name. Fourth, we have a collection at the door when you're leaving, as the pastor has said. And if you're not prepared to give it this time, there's a insert in a bulletin that you can follow up with. I'd like to take this time to thank Pastor Barr for being such a great supporter of the Gideon ministry. And for this congregation over the years, this has been one of our top supporters of the Gideon ministry, and I want to thank you for that. May God bless you in your future endeavors in the Crandon area.